faces, and I noticed that they took care to remain behind her and therefore out of sight. Perhaps she wanted to pretend that she wasn't being guarded, and the Empire was willing to indulge that illusion. She was a prisoner with privileges, but still a prisoner. Drusel walked past the benches and deliberately chose a spot in the grass to sit down, legs folded underneath her and long-fingered hands resting on her knees, her back stiff and straight, as though it were her mission to model correct posture. She had chosen a view of a family picnic, some adults nursing beverages around a metal table, and children playing in the field nearby, tossing a ball around and laughing. It was impossible to tell if this gave her any pleasure. The two bodyguards kept their position and faced outward, watching for any approaching trouble. The security droid hovered in place and rotated in sentinel mode, colored lights winking as it scanned for threats and bathed the area with radar pings, doubtless securing passive target locks on anything in sight. The plainclothes security maintained a perimeter and rotated clockwise, while the two men occupying the elevated walkways remained stationary. After a few minutes of this, with Drusel before and keeping perfectly still, it occurred to me that she might not be watching the children at all, but rather meditating. Her eyes might be closed, and I would never know. The eyes of the security droid were vigilant, however, and it was programmed to use lethal force, which was demonstrated when the ball got away from the children and arced through the air on a parabola that might have brought it within the blast radius of a grenade to Drusel's position. The droid whirled, shot forward, and blasted the ball into component atoms before it could touch the ground. The kids screamed, and their parents, roused from their drinking, threw out a few belated screams as well. Playtime was over. Drusel jerked at the noise and stood, turning to berate the bodyguards as if they had been the ones to shoot the ball.
"Not so relaxing here in this park,"
Nakari said, rising from the bench.
"I think it's best we leave."
"Yeah, as almost everyone else was leaving too, we would stand out if we lingered. We had all the information we needed anyway. Two obvious guards, four in plainclothes, two more up high, and an aggressively programmed security droid. Plus, anything else we missed that R2 managed to pick up. We'd ask him soon. Returning to the hotel took some time because we employed measures to ensure that we weren't followed. After ditching our rental speeder, we removed our putty faces in the restroom of a public restaurant, destroyed our uniforms and duffels in the incinerator, changed into nondescript clothing, and hid our faces from any security cams as we exited by wearing cowls over our heads. R2's identity was rather more difficult to conceal, so we didn't try. We had to take the risk of having him return to the hotel on his own and hope that no one accosted him in the short distance involved. Nakari argued that people would assume he was on an errand rather than wandering around on his own without direction. Luckily, he encountered no trouble and waited outside by the door, and we arrived soon afterward. He followed us to yet another establishment since we didn't go inside the hotel. We wanted to be sure we had shaken any tails first, and besides, we had plenty to do. We ensconced ourselves in a secluded booth of an upscale diner and ordered hot drinks served by a droid. There we pored over the information Saket had downloaded to Nakari's datapad and also compared R2's observations about security with our own through an interface. R2 had identified the same security personnel we had through local comm signals. He'd be able to identify locations again at another site in case we were unable to see them. It looked as if we would not enjoy such an unrestricted view again as we had that morning. "I don't think we could do the botanical garden tomorrow, even if we wanted to."
"No, it's too soon,"
Nakari agreed.
"And there would be flowers and canopies and tree trunks ruining my line of sight."
"But this cafe the day after tomorrow looks promising," I said. Nakari leaned in close and peered over my shoulder, a few wild curls of her hair brushing against my ear. She smelled of citrus and mint.
"Depends on where she sits. Can't do it inside,"
Saket's notes say she sits outside at one of the tables and watches the world pass by.
So we try to snatch her on a crowded public street?
Well, I doubt it would be very crowded at mid-morning. The rush hour will be over, and all we'll see are the people who overslept or who tend to do their business in cafes. Besides, any innocents will work against the Imperials as much as us. And look at this, I said, pointing at a detail of the sight hollow Saket had provided.
Oh, that might just work.
Glad you agree. I turned to my droid. Hey, R2, how would you feel about getting an upgrade?